Year after year, one of the most consistent items on my Do Something list is to have fun with fashion. Exploring my personal style has added more joy to my everyday life and helped me feel more like myself on the regular. However, I have found that there are some brands I would love to explore more, but they are out of my typical price range. Or there's the it item that I would love to try out, but without the commitment of keeping it. Enter Armoire. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I just did my quiz and have selected a few dresses for the summer from Boden, one of my favorite brands that I can't typically afford. And I also got a double-breasted black blazer from a new-to-me designer, a classic item that I have been on the hunt for but too scared to commit to until I know it's the one. For you expecting mamas, for those who are working, or those who are style-obsessed, who want to switch out your wardrobe with quality pieces without the designer prices, check out this woman-owned company that has your style and your sustainability in mind. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/progress. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/progress to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to About Progress. I am your host, Monica Packer, and I am here to teach you how to take back your life and dare to progress towards bettering yourself, honing your gifts, and using them for good in the world. Listen in to be inspired by others who are walking the same path of self-improvement paired with self-love, and to be a part of a community that knows life is about progress, not perfection. Hello, thank you so much for tuning in to part 2 of my interview with Brooke White. Now, I shared part 1 before. If you haven't listened to that, definitely start there. We are talking about social media, what we can do to curb our involvement with it and take back our lives and actually live with our eyes open, as Brooke shares in this part 2. So part 1 was more about Brooke's own evolution through social media, how it went from something that she used personally to connect to friends or family, and then moved into more of a business relationship and to connect with a bigger community. And we talked about how there was so much good in that, but that even with that goodness there, it still became something that controlled her life and was in her mind. So now we are going to talk about in part 2, what this was like for her to step back. She took a month off of social media a few months ago, and what she learned from that, and how since then she has been trying to put some parameters on her use of social media, and how she is doing her part to connect with her real live loved ones in front of her, primarily first. So it's like I shared in the first episode, or like I shared in part 1, we don't have the answers here. Brooke is so generous in allowing us to be part of the messiness that is trying to get recalibrated, to think through things, and to figure out what's working best for ourselves. So you do need to hear this, though. You need to hear what Brooke learned, and one of them just like almost made me bawl on the spot when she talks about realizing that what she had missed was right in front of her with her children, and what it was like to be the only person in a room without a phone and how different that felt. And I mean, there was just so much there. But also at the end of our chat here, you are going to hear what Brooke learned about owning and accepting herself for who she is. And my goodness, folks, it is some of the most beautiful things I have heard. And I've interviewed over 100 people. Not all of them have aired yet. But I'm telling you, this is it. This is the answer to everything I'm doing for this podcast. So let's stop wasting our time and get right into it with Brooke White. When we left off, I was asking Brooke about when she knew it was time. And she talked about in part one, some of the things that led up to her taking a break from social media. But here is when I really dig more into that feeling that she had that it was time. So let's take it away. So for you, was this more of like a series of moments that kept pulling you to this thought, like, I need to put this down and or out of my head? Or was it one definable moment for you that gave you that push to take a break and to set some parameters to become more intentional?
I would say that it was kind of like the I was playing the night, the 3 a.m. night when I was doing the up now kind of situation.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it was as like sudden as that. But it was kind of like, I think over time I just kept having this feeling like, you need to take a break. Yeah. You need to take a break. And yes. We didn't bring this up, but I did a shopping fast the year prior when I was pregnant, from May to my birthday, which was June 2nd. And so this coming year, I was like, should I do another shopping fast? And I was considering doing that again. And it really started hitting me like, no, you should do a social media fast. Like that's your current drug of choice. Like you need to, like, I could feel its effects. Like, I could feel the tension in my home, my kids screaming, just the tension. I could feel, the kind of disconnect happening in my real life with people. And, and also just, I was wondering, like, what other types of things I was missing, what other kinds of fogginess I was in, like what I'd felt before with the shopping and the consumerism and the clothing and everything. It was just kind of like, I just need to get clarity, I think is what I felt like, is I need clarity. And it also freaked me out, like, whoa, am I wasting other people's time and taking them away from their lives? And the answer is
interesting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yes. So wait,
there was also this like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you realize like that responsibility you had too. So you took that week off, and then it turned into a month. What was the hardest part about doing that?
So, yeah, it was in the first week, I would say, I was quote unquote off, but I wasn't really, let's be honest. I was still kind of in that habitual checking. You check the fridge for something to eat, like something that you checked 5 minutes ago, and you go back and you're like, oh, I thought something amazing. You just, you want to see what's going on. And I would say there was that, the fear of missing out. There was that, like, oh, either you're out of the loop or like you're not in the game, right?
Yeah.
Like there's some sort of not being in the game. And so, yeah, I think I just kind of like was in the mode of like withdrawing, right? Just,
sure. Trying to break some
habits.
Oh,
I wanted to share this. Or like, so I was in my home all day without running to my phone, like Instagram to share whatever I was going through and kind of like have some sort of outlet. And so it was really challenging. That first week was like, oh, I just want to run back into the arms of Instagram.
Well, one of my friends said that.
She really did.
She did her own little social media fast a little while ago. And she said the thing she did not expect that happened was a loss in her confidence, because she wasn't able to get that feedback and
validation as often as she had it before. And that was a harder transition than she did not expect that.
Oh, 100%. And I think we just really need to, I feel like it's really important to note that as all human beings, we really need this. But I think, and I don't want to zero in on moms, because I think all people feel this in different ways. The need for validation in your life, or some sort of feedback, like you said, that we're doing good or we're doing all right.
Yes.
Or just some sort of interaction from people that understand where you're at. And I think we do also get that, is that community that understands kind of where you're at, like what you're going through. You know, you connect with these people. As moms, it's sort of, sometimes you feel really vulnerable because, again, needing that feedback and connection and that validation. I think social media is kind of the go-to place for that. And like I said, there's some positives about that, but also some really kind of, I think, scary things about that. So, like, for me, realizing being off, like, not having it, like, it was really apparent to me how much I was leaning on that, how much I was kind of, like, depending on that for my happiness, or even in my brain, like, some sort of hit in my brain that I was getting, like, again, like, there's, we're going to find out more about the brain, the dopamine, the brain science behind why this is really so powerful. But after that first week, I decided if I was really going to do this for real, that I just had to delete it off my phone. Like, I couldn't have the option to go there. It's like, you know, like when I went on my shopping fast, it was like,
stay out of the
bar. To me, it was like, stay out of the bar. Don't go to Target. Target was my bar. Like, don't think you're going to go there and not buy crap. Of course you are. Like, you're just going to go look? Yeah. Since when?
Yeah.
You know? So, like, for me, I was just like, you gotta take the possibility, you gotta remove it. So I took it off my phone, and that's when things got really real and really amazing.
Yeah. Tell me about that then.
I would say after kind of that, I think it was like, when I just realized it wasn't there anymore for me to look at, like, I hardly picked up my phone. I'm telling you, my phone was in the other room. It was places I didn't even know where it was. Like, oh, where's my phone? I mean, really, when was the last time you didn't know where your phone was and you didn't care? Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, were you to this place where, like, your phone is a phone to use as a phone? Like,
yes. Oh, goodness.
I mean, I had, don't get me wrong, I still had text messages, but I also have an Apple Watch, so I was just using that for my text messages. I would know if someone was calling me or texting me, but I didn't need my phone on me. I just, you know, I didn't. And so, and as a matter of fact, when I was doing that, I also told Summer, who I do Girls with Glasses with, I told her I was doing that. And I said, you know, for Girls with Glasses, you know, I might have to do things here and there, but I'd prefer to stay off of it. And she was really supportive.
That's
I think
great.
Everybody was like, and my family and my immediate circle was really supportive, you know, because, like, you know, I don't know if they would have told me, like, you have a huge problem or anything, but I think they knew, like, like I said, like, my ability to be present and yet still down in my phone, like, I was kidding myself that I was somehow living both lives. Like, it's just not real. It's an illusion.
So did you feel that sense point, of freedom? Go ahead. Yeah. Tell me about, like, one of the greatest benefits of doing that then. Like, what was the best part of that?
All
time.
I can say is it's just like a weird freedom. It's just, I had all these creative ideas. I wanted to, like, there was some times where I was like, man, how can I just be creative right now without, I was like, well, you could still dance without putting it on your story. You could still dance. You could still turn up the music. You could still, you know, just do what you were doing, like, without, like, instead of having a conversation with your phone about a deep thought, like, call your sister and have that conversation. Call your friend or get together and have lunch with someone and never even look at the phone during that lunchtime, during that lunch. Like, it was really amazing. I'll tell you what, one thing that really hit me, and it was that I was like, the only one not looking at my phone. What thing you realize when you're not on your phone is that everybody else is on their phone. Mm-hmm. And what it made me, okay, here was my huge epiphany. Huge epiphany
yeah,
is,
tell me.
Now you know what it feels like to be your kid. Now you know what it feels like to be your child. Ugh. Like, they're the only ones that don't really, you know, they're starting to pick up our phones. Obviously, they're learning for us. They want them. They're seeing it. They're watching us, you know, hold them and constantly be engaging with them, looking down at them. But for them, you know, I just wonder how, like, solitary and just kind of depressing it was to always be trying to get someone's attention and or wanting to be a part of something and even seeing that both of your parents are just glued to their phone. Like, it was a huge eye-opening experience. Like, this is what it feels like to be your child. And I feel like that was a really strong epiphany I had during it. And also, I remember just being with other people and my, you know, friends or family, and everybody was on their phones. And there was a part of me that was, like, bummed or kind of angry. Like, hey, guys, can't we just be together? And you know, obviously, it's easier to feel that way when you're not in it. But obviously, I couldn't say that because I was like, you know what? You've been so guilty.
Yeah.
Until now, you know, and sometimes I wanted, you know, Dave wasn't really doing the fast, so he wasn't. So sometimes I felt like I wanted to get mad at him for being on his phone. Like, hey, can't we just do this together? Like, let's go phone free. Like, you know, I wanted to get radical and like, let's just go phone free. And, but you know, again, it took me being off, like going off the grid, to just really feeling and seeing it. And I'll tell you, by that last week, it was so golden. It was so pure, like the clarity of everything. Like, it was, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but like when my kid was like laughing or just looking at me, it's like I saw them, I heard them. I just felt like I could see him, I could hear him, and I realized at that time that it had been a long time. It had been a long time since I had really heard and felt them. Like, I could look into their little eyeballs and just be like, wow, you've been here this whole time, and I feel like I've really missed a lot of your magic. And it's hard because, you know, we would turn to the phones when we felt like we needed an escape from it all. But again, it's just that pendulum swung so far. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or to share it. Oh, look how magical this is. It would be even so much more magical if I put it on a photograph in a picture with the filter and I turn up the contrast and then I kind of brighten this and then, oh, wow. You know?
Yes.
Like, and look, I do want to hold these moments. I do want to take photos. I do want to document. I think there's a lot of greatness in this, but I don't think we're documenting as much anymore. I don't think it's about documenting so much anymore. I think that's just the reality.
You're right. It isn't for the scrapbook so much as it's, and I've realized that since I've been working on trying to build a community of people who are working on themselves. There's so much irony behind what I do. It is so much of trying
to
get back.
It's a lot of irony, isn't it?
It is. But when I scroll through my phone, you know whose face I see the most is mine.
I know.
I hate that. And it, like you said, it's not so much about the kids and those moments and documenting that. It's my face. And that's been something I've been thinking about a lot, too. I've been feeling this pull for a while to pull back. I mean, I did a whole episode on it last year around this time, and we did a whole challenge, and it changed a lot of people's habits, and it changed my own habits and the way I did it. But
Amazing.
Thing about it, though, I hate is the pull. The pull that's always there, the, like, you're reaching for it, the instinct. And when you went through this whole month, and you have a lot more to lose. This is why I wanted to talk to you about it, because you do have a lot more to lose than most people, to take a break, to pull it back, to curb your habits. It's a riskier thing for you, someone who is building your community for a reason. I mean, your music, it lies a lot in that. And your evolution as an artist and with Girls with Glasses, you have more to lose. So how did doing that, you know, you've talked about the magic that you felt at the end, and now you're trying to find that balance. What does that look like for you now?
Yeah.
What parameters are you exploring? What limits have you put in place? And you know, I know that's not going to be a perfect, this is works completely.
No.
Or not, but what's helped you?
Well,
parameter-wise.
Thanks
for
framing the question that way. Because, yeah, it's really important to recognize that I don't have it figured out. I don't exactly know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've tried to be kind of vocal about that.
Yes.
On Instagram, just to kind of externally process that I know that I don't really know what my purpose is out there or what my, you know, I don't have a niche. I don't, but like I've talked a lot about creating boundaries and rules. And, I think, you know, I kind of have been trying to, it's been a little bit experimental.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. Like right now I'm working on a new record. Like I'm gearing up to share and have to put something out there, which I got to be honest, it makes me sick to promote and to share and have to ask people to buy something. I mean, it's very vulnerable to begin with because music is incredibly personal and definitely hit some nerves for me. But like, I don't want to be all or nothing. I just don't think that's the answer for me. It's difficult because I feel like that's how I have to be sometimes. Like
maybe to jumpstart it, right?
Like you said,
but not right. Not permanent.
I mean, I feel like
I can't.
Right. Well, it really makes me laugh with the spending fast. One girl, she made the most hilarious comment. She goes, "I like how you call it a spending fast because you're on a spending fast. You're either doing a spending fast or you're spending fast." And it just, you know, it made me laugh, but that's the reality. It's just, there's this, it's just, I just want to believe that I don't have to be extreme about this. I want to believe that yes, there is something really important and valuable in this. Otherwise it wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And that there's a need still to do it, but that we just can't go like, let it just take over and ruin us.
There you go.
And ruin relationships. And there you go. But like the actual execution of what that looks like is something that I'm really trying super hard to figure out. And for me, like I've made myself some like kind of rules. So right. What I've kind of been doing is I generally take off Sundays. Mm. I have one full day where I am for the most part, completely Instagram free.
Yeah.
And not every once in a while, last Sunday I posted something, but like the majority of the time I post nothing on Sunday. It's a Sabbath day for me. I try to take a day of rest, a day with my family to really be with them. And then I would like in a perfect world, I feel like 2 days off a week, like any other job would be awesome. I like, again, what's hard for me is like, it is a job and it's not a job, right? It's a very blurred line. Like this,
as a
this
job
Instagram
that...
space for me is like, like I'm not going on promoting things that making me money, but like someday, like when I start sharing music, well, that leans a little bit more towards, you know, I'm an independent artist. I know I'm not going to sell a gajillion records, but anything that I do get is because I'm going to have to promote it.
Yeah.
Right. So like, there is this part of me that's like, man, Brooke, should you start trying to kind of expand and grow, but then there's feels like something so inauthentic for me that it's hard for me to do. And I'm like, but I'm worried about turning into a monster and just going too far. It's really hard. I'm like just going to just say it right now. I don't know the answer. I can say this much. I'm trying to spend each day. I'm trying to go into it with a more intentional, I know that's a word that gets thrown around a lot these days, but really in a more mindful, intentional place. I did have this rule that, to be completely honest, it kind of slipped back on of no phone when my kids are in the room and my husband.
Yeah.
But then that was hard. And I thought, I won't post until they go to bed. But let me just, I like with the schedule I'm keeping right now, I'm doing so many things. It just got to the place where it was like, I was not posting at all because like the reality was I was always with someone. I was either with my kids or at the end of the night, I was with my husband. And then I was like, oh, I, you know, I didn't want to blow him off. it's like, when am I going to do this? Like, when am I going to post? And, you know, when do I start, like, find kind of that creative little, you know, spark of where I was at before when I was kind of going hard on, you know, there's like a place where I was just like really creatively, like coming up with so many great ideas and all this sharing. And now it's kind of slow because I've pulled back.
Yeah.
So I really just am like not sure what I'm going to do moving. Some days I'm like, okay, today's your day. You can go full throttle, go share, and then tomorrow take the day off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the like ideally I would love to just never have the phone in my hands when I'm with my kids. I would love to just, I'm so scared of what their future looks like as a result of me always having my phone. I just worry because we're already seeing the huge issues and who knows what it'll even be like as they get older, like what's going to be next and how it will change. But what we know is that they'll never know life without a phone in their, you know, in their world, like in their just surroundings at any given time. So for them and for their upbringing, like sometimes I just want to throw it in the trash, all for them, nearly 100% for them and their well-being. And that there's days where I'm like, it's totally worth just completely giving it up so that I can protect them. But then again, I just think because of like what I believe, like I really believe God, to bring God into this for me, I feel like God is just demanding a higher level of consciousness about this. And it's like, I feel like the need to use it. Like, hey, you're going to use this, but I just need you to be super, just learn and just keep learning and just trying to just keep being better. Just in terms of moving forward with social media, like I don't exactly, like I said, I don't exactly know what it looks like, but what I want is to not have a spirit of fear about it, but more of trust as I put myself more in line with a, like I, you know, in my faith, I know you share the same faith as me. We talk a lot about revelation and personal revelation. And I think this is really, really crucial, really, really crucial. This revelation thing, some people call it intuition and flow. There's this big study on flow right now. And for me, flow is really synonymous with revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you are not meant to do one thing for the rest of time. Like your life will take different shapes, different forms, different paths. And the most important thing is that in all of it, that you're just listening, you're paying attention, and you're doing it. So if in social media, you get called to take a break, take a break. If you get called to return, return. If you feel like you're, if the thing is just that in tuneness, that being in tune is the most important thing. And I think the big fear of social media is that, again, it can put us in that fog. It can put us in that dull state. And so sometimes stepping away is what's really important, is that you can prime yourself so you know what it feels like to be clear, to be away from it, and then you can come back with a clear mind. That's why I feel like taking these intermittent breaks more often will help me have a more clear mind about it.
I think that's
what my hope is, even though I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like.
Yep.
I know it won't be perfect. Like you said, it's about progress and just continually trying and continually putting your best effort. But like, I know I'm not going to be perfect. I know there's some days that I'm going to like, I kind of had a little relapse there. And okay, now tomorrow I need to do better. And I've done that. But like, you know, Monica, I don't have like a, and I know you framed it this way, I don't have a definitive answer on that. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to use my guidelines. Taking the day off a week for me is really valuable. At the very least, anybody listening, I would say first and foremost, take a break.
Yeah.
Take a break. Whatever that looks like.
Yep.
At the very minimum, a week. At the bare minimum. But that's not even enough. I'm telling you, we got to have, like, I talked to a girl the other day who's been off a year. And I just high-fived her so hard because I thought, wow, you must feel so good.
Yeah.
You must feel so good. And I won't pretend like being on social media is like, I feel good. I mean, there's a lot of great things and, you know, fun things. But, like, when I came back off my first fast, I cried when I got on and I was scrolling. It was like, oh, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to step back into this world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, it's a lot. Like, I just want to be awake in it because I want to realize the power that it has, the power, like just recognize the power that it has in your life and its influence in so many ways. And for me, what that looks like, because of my background and what I'm trying to do with music, but also as just a human being who yearns and feels the pull to share and to communicate and be a part of a community and hopefully share some sort of love and joy and lightness. I mean, that is important to me. And I do think it's necessary, but at what cost? And that's the big question.
Oh, okay. So, you know, one of the words you said earlier about the effect that it had on you was fog. Like you just felt in this fog. And now where I think where you're ending up is, we're not going to give someone, here's a list of what you need to do. This is how you will have the perfect balance. But what we're trying to get at here is get a clear head about it. And that's a word you just used here is trying to get into that headspace where you are clear. And it's not going to be 100% anything. But that is the whole point of this conversation is pushing ourselves to, is to not this all or nothing thinking, because I think all or nothing thinking is actually a really terrible place to live. And it's not practical.
It's not real. It's not reality based.
Yeah. Nope, it's going to set yourself up for failure. And, but you know, but like you said, having some aspect of a break to build that, to give that clear mind and that, that chance for you to think about and to evaluate what that's going to look like for you, and then practicing it and evolving in it and changing it and shifting it, sometimes daily, sometimes hourly, but hopefully we'll get to that place where we are clear-headed and we're using it in a way that's going to benefit ourselves and others and our children. And I love that you are trying. Like, high five to you. For taking this big risk.
Much.
Yeah, for trying and sharing it and allowing us to be a part of it and to learn from you. And I hope we can challenge ourselves to take that step too, and to challenge ourselves to take the risk, no matter what that looks like,
take a
risk. So Brooke, I have enjoyed this conversation so much. When I first started chatting with you, I said
I
love seeing the evolution you've taken on in your life. A big part of what I've seen you doing is embracing who you really are. And that's meant the parts of you that aren't so pretty, the parts of you that are hard to embrace and to find in yourself. I mean, a lot of what I've discovered in myself are things I don't like. But in discovering that, what I want to hear, my final question for you today is, how has embracing who you really are, deep down, the good, the beautiful, the hard, the ugly, how has that transformed your life recently to embrace you?
Wow. Really, really timely question, because I was just thinking about it today, and it was one of those things that I felt like was maybe worth putting out there at some point. Yeah. When I turned 33 is when I felt like I had like a really a kind of a breakthrough, for lack of a better word. A huge shift, a huge change.
Really?
And I just turned 35 just recently, and I'm really excited about being 35. Like, I don't feel like, oh, I'm getting so old. I just feel like I'm in my prime. Like, this is the prime time.
Yeah.
But when I turned 33 is when I had this really huge, very simple, but extremely powerful moment. And for me, a huge part of my life was a lot of self-doubt, insecurity, you know, lack of confidence, like so many people, and a lot of self-loathing, a lot of self-hating, and a lot of, like, you know, because of all those unpretty parts, those flawed things, the realities and the truths that I was just never going to be perfect, and my fear of not being loved because I could not be perfect. I think that was really, like, my fear of disappointing, not just, like, people in my life, but even at a God level. Like, I wasn't even sure if, like, I was good enough for God for a good long time. And that is a really rough space to be in, because all you're trying to do is prove yourself constantly. And while, yes, I do believe we are here on earth to, in some way, prove ourselves, I don't think we have to prove our, like, worth or our lovability to God at any time. Like, that's something I've come to find. But before that, I felt like I really did. Like, I really had to jump through some very serious hoops to feel loved. Mm-hmm. And I came, like, I got to say that thing. I came from a very loving home, very yeah. loving parents, but for whatever reason, because of my innate perfectionism mm-hmm. and my need for some sort of feedback or just, I don't know. Like, for me, it was like always in this place of I am never going to be good enough. And I hate myself for it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when I was a child, I remember writing on a piece of paper front to back, I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. Front to back. Mm. Terrible. Like mm. if I saw my child do this, I would just freak out. I would, and my parents too. Like,
yeah.
I just can't imagine, like, just, you know, knowing this. So for me, that self-hating, that self-loathing, I'll never be good enough. I'm not worthy. Place that I was stuck in, this kind of very awful place. I had this moment after going through the infertility, which isn't it interesting? I think that experience is really crucial for me because mm-hmm. it was really changed me both on yeah. a, like on a personal level, on a public level, who I was, who I was forced to face, like mm-hmm. going through that kind of darkness and that transition as a, from a, it all kind of came to a head right then and there. And after I had Sunny, who was just the most, oh, gift. What a gift. Mm-hmm. He brought this kind of light into my life. And I remember just like finally, I remember I was in my kitchen standing at the counter. And it, this thought came to me. And whatever, I'm just going to, again, call it like a spiritual prompting.
Yeah.
And it said, it was like this. It was like a question. And it said, Brooke, do you want to love yourself? Do you want to stop hating yourself? It was like a really just simple question. Do you want to love yourself? Do you want to stop hating yourself? And it was like this desperate, like, yes, I want to stop. I just, huh. like, it was like, I give you permission. Like, I want you to know, like, hmm. you are allowed to stop. You're allowed to choose to love yourself. And it's not selfish. It's not self-centered. It's quite simple. You're just, if you want to and you're ready, go ahead. And I didn't even cry. It was not like that. It was just like a, it was so like, really? Is it that simple? Can I really just choose that? Can I really choose to just be like suddenly after years of self-loathing and self-hating, can I really just say, I'm going to stop hating myself? Can I really just do that? Am I really able to do that? And in that moment, it's like, I got it. I saw it. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I do. I really want that. I really, really, really want that. And it was just like, okay, you give it to yourself right now. You're the one. It's all waiting on you. It's all waiting on you whenever you're ready. And, you know, I just realized all this time, like, God already did love me. You know, people in my life loved me. How much more love could I ask for? The one person that was holding, like, really, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's people out there that don't love me. We could get, but I'm just saying, like, the people that were, it mattered to me. Like, the one person that was withholding love was me. I was the one person holding it back. And when I finally, like, in that moment, just said, I want to, and it was so simple. I stopped thinking about hating myself. I stopped even thinking about what it was so much less thought about myself at all. It was just freedom. And I just felt such a, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I have relapses. I slide back sure. because that was a lot of years. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, that was my big, that's why, you know, I spoke a couple times in my, after I turned 33, and I did this talk called 10 Things That Set My Soul Free at 33. Huh. And really, that was huge. And I think that was, like, all of that stuff I went through on social media was part of that. Even though it went a little extreme, like, I think that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just, I don't, did I answer your question? I think what I 100%. Just learned is that, like, we have to let, we got to let that love in. It's already there. And I feel like we're all talking a lot about self-love, and it's just kind of become like that kind of, I don't want to say it's becoming trite or, you mm-hmm. know, but I just want to say, like, the reality is that it's really difficult to feel good about yourself. It's difficult right now to, and we're all trying, like shouting it, self-love, self-love, but it's really something that no one can give you. Hmm. I mean, no one else can give it to you.
Yeah.
Other than like, and when I say that, like, of course, God and Jesus give it to us, but it's already there. That's what I'm saying is like,
yes,
it's already there. It's up to us to accept it and to take it and to have it in ourselves. And that's why it's like, it's up to us ultimately to use our agency to choose love and to let go of the hate, let go of the self-hate, let go of the I'm not enough, let go of the self-loathing. And I think when we can do that is when we start finding the freedom. And it doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean that we have all the answers and now we know exactly what to do and how to proceed with life.
Yeah.
But it takes up so much less energy to constantly feel like we're proving our worth and our love to others and to ourselves. Ultimately, we're always trying to prove it to ourselves, even though we're using other people. We're trying to use other people to give that to us, right?
Definitely.
We're using other people to kind of prove that love to ourselves. So I think that's a long answer, but ultimately it's just taught me that each day, if you listen and you loosen it up a little bit and you just put your faith in that day by day guidance and that intuition, that spirit, when you're in that place where you're not into the fog of self-hate and loathing and not enoughness, that we then turn to these other things to buffer away, like we talked at the beginning, I think is where it all links back. I think that's where we can just start finding maybe some more healthier middle grounds. It's not perfect. We'll do our slide backs. We'll have days where we're amazing. But I think that's the place we can at least aim for. It's a better place.
It's freedom. You know, I have interviewed probably around 100 people. I mean, because there are lots of episodes that haven't aired quite yet, but
incredible. That was amazing. That's so amazing, Monica.
And it's weird to think about that. I mean, add that up. But what I was going to say, though, Brooke, is that that is like the best answer. I'm not to rate people, but that is the heart of what I hope to communicate to people. But it's also the heart of what I still struggle with so much myself. And to word it so beautifully and so simply like that, I don't think I could have ever heard a better answer than that. So I'm really grateful that you would share so much, share who you are. I'm grateful that you've been on social media. I'm grateful that you've taken us on this path with you and share the ins and outs and the good times, the hard times. And I'm grateful that you're sharing the struggle of balance too. And I just honor you for doing that for us and for being on the show today. Thank you so much, Brooke.
Thank you, Monica. I know it got really lengthy, and feel free to chop out whatever you need to. I thank you for just being super kind and persistent with me about coming on. I'll tell you, I feel really like when you're doing a podcast, you just feel like you're chatting with a friend, and I always worry that, you know, there's a vulnerability in sharing a lot of these things, but you know what I just, you learn is that ultimately, again, like there's always something bigger, a bigger purpose, something that you just kind of have to get over yourself sometimes because.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
You know, if we're not sharing like the real thing about what we're really learning, then I think it's just not, then what are we there for? Like, what are we doing this for? So I have to just commend you for what you're doing, using your platform to really help people embrace the perspective of just progress and just keep trying and aiming and all the irony and all of it. But I appreciate just the kindness and I can really feel like a genuine like knowledge that you kind of really have been following along. And I know that, and it really makes it easier to really speak with you and talk with you about it. And just thank you for even having an interest or even caring about anything I have to say, really, any of my experiences. And I hope you can make, my fear is just that you're going to be like, what do I make of all of this? Like,
no, it's going to be, it's everything. Thank you. Wow. I mean, Can You Get Over? Just how amazing that chat was. Thank you so much, Brooke, for making a huge goal of mine come to fruition by being on the show and discussing something that is so important to me and needful for all of us. As I said during our interview, I wanted Brooke because of the incredible transformation she has allowed us to be a part of and her willingness to figure out the messiness of life alongside of us. And you know, at the end when she said we need to just get over ourselves and I laughed, that's because it's the exact phrase of my workshop that I'm doing tomorrow night and the series of courses I'm working on. And it's just so funny how that works. Like, once you open the doors to learning and discovering things, how inspiration comes from all sides. And that phrase alone, it just made me chuckle that it keeps coming up for me. So that's what that was about. On the show, I referenced a friend's social media fast and how she was surprised by how it made her feel insecure for a while. And that was Kim Christensen from Talk Wordy to Me. In the show notes, I linked to her post on what she wrote about what she learned from her fast on social media. And this was a couple months ago. She is an incredible person to follow because she practices so much intentionality with social media. And I actually had her on my show in the very beginning. And I've linked to that in the show notes. And I also had her again on a technology podcast episode I did a year ago. And I used the word technology when I did that episode. And I really just meant social media. So if you're into learning more about this sort of thing, I highly recommend listening to that episode as well. It shifted a lot of people's thinking on social media and their habits as well. Kim was a guest, as well as Jamie Cook from Wander and Scout. And I've linked to all of those in my show notes, as well as my website, my Instagram, and Facebook, where you can get in touch with me. And I know it's really ironic that I am telling you those things, but there you go. That's why this is such a complex topic. All right, I've talked long enough. My only request before you leave today, share this episode. Text it to a friend, email it, post about it on social media. Just make sure it gets heard far and wide. We all need to go deep about why we're using social media and how to get better control and intention behind it. Our children need us to learn this, so please share it. I'll see you next Wednesday for another chat, and until then, take care of yourself.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.